long road.
Doggone it. Your questions about dogs are welcome today on the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are here with us this afternoon. They join us at 106 on the first Friday of every month. And today being the first Friday in September, they're here to take your calls about dog training and dog behavior. Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim and his wife, Robin, raise beautiful Malamutes. And Carol, she has two dogs, a golden and a golden collie mix.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Outside the Champaign-Urbana area, call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-222-9455 and 333-9455. Hi, guys.
Hi, Celeste. How are you?
Doggone it. It's nice to see you.
That was cute music. I like listening to that.
Marvin Gaye.
I was just thinking his wife shot him to death. Marvin said, yeah.
Is that what you were thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that about him. I guess I had forgotten that story. It was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, in fact,
well, that's a rather grim note.
Yeah,
sorry, we named
tip our hats
one
to
of our litters.
Mr. Keel,
we named after dead rock and roll stars.
Oh, so that's why you knew.
Oh, okay. We had Buddy and Janice and Marvin. We had a lot of dogs.
Hmm.
And they were the Eskimos used to name their dogs after dead relatives. By the way,
really?
Which is one of the reasons we did it. Although we're not related to any rock stars that I know of.
I'm depressed now.
Although Robin is a distant relative of H. Rider Haggard.
Really?
Who wrote She and, what was the other one?
No, I hate to hurt your feelings, but I'm not familiar
well,
with that
person. Well, he wrote She, the King Solomon's Mines. He wrote.
Oh.
He was a British author.
Oh.
100 years ago.
And the dogs are okay? Everybody's family?
Dogs?
Okay.
Are we here for dogs? Oh, yeah. No, Cliffy passed on in the last month. Cliffy was 13 plus.
Yeah.
He had cancer.
Oh, is that what happened?
He had a big mass in his stomach, and when we felt it, we went, oops. He hadn't been able to walk on his own for about a year.
Oh, I think it was
not because
longer
of the cancer,
than that.
No, he
when
could
did he
walk.
Have that surgery done?
He, about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But that had nothing to do with the cancer. But he we'd have to help him walk. But he got this stuff in his stomach. And
we had pictures of him. Did we get pictures of him last year?
One
we
of the
did.
Promo pictures
yeah.
was with
well,
Cliff.
I'll have, you
yeah.
know, I've got those at home. I'll have to look and
yeah.
and get that to you then.
He wasn't happy about being photograph.
Not in the least. No, he was not happy, and it was
he
quite
said, that's not my good side.
Yeah,
turn me
he
over.
He wasn't happy. That's why we ended up with Tommy in the picture instead.
Yeah.
So,
we wanted two old dogs and then our two pets. And,
yeah. Yeah, I'll look for those pictures at home. Yeah. I just saw them the other day. So
I brought in a picture.
This is a great picture, too.
Look at this.
You know what that is?
It's a paw print.
That's Stephanie. I was letting the dogs in or out. I forget. Stephanie jumped up and hit me in the chest with her dirty, muddy paw.
See how hard she hit him? You can see all yes. you can see all the little hair marks and everything.
And I looked down. I said, "Get off of me!" And I looked down, and it was the most perfect paw print I'd ever
seen.
That's
his shirt.
In my life. That's my shirt. So I grabbed the camera. I ran downstairs and said, "Robin, take a picture of this." And I might make a logo out of it. I've already scanned
that's
it
beautiful.
Into my computer.
That's
yeah,
kind of nice,
it's great.
Isn't it?
It's
I'm
great.
Surprised he's still standing. I mean, that's
should have worn that shirt in today.
Well, no. Look, it's got all those little hair marks on it.
Actually, yeah, that was like a month ago.
You, could,
just
you can see
it.
Where her nails are. Look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's.
Well, we haven't seen any mud for a month or so.
Oh, there's a call?
There's lots of
Let's
calls.
Let's take a call.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
We're
I was looking at the
lit
wrong
up
screen.
Like a Christmas tree. Let's go first.
People want to see the picture. Maybe I should show it to everybody.
On line one. Yeah, show it. Hold it up there.
You can
very
see those
nice.
Little nail marks.
Our first caller is on line one in Champaign. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We just inherited a little Brittany Spaniel, and our problem is a really sweet dog, except when it's really aggressive with other dogs. Can you give us any hints on how to break that?
I don't think you can break it. Brittany's When you say aggressive, what do you mean?
If you walk in on a leash, and it's been trained to walk on a leash pretty well, it just goes nuts. I mean, it starts to growl. It pulls.
When he sees another dog, you mean?
Yeah, when he sees another dog.
Well, I have a theory. For starts, there are some things about dogs that are hardwired, and it's part of the operating system, and you're just not going to get it out. That's one of them. You can minimize it, but getting rid of it is a real problem. Does this happen? Does a dog bark at other dogs in any other context besides when you're walking?
Oh, anytime I see the dog, no matter. If the dog doesn't bark first, it might be a little bit, But if a dog barks at it, it's on its hind legs growling. And it's a real problem because you can't take it to a park. You can't take it, with my kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I love to take it to the park, but, you just can't. If there's other dogs around, it's just too aggressive.
That is a difficult thing to manage.
Yeah, when you say you inherited the dog, what do you mean?
Well, we got it as a gift from a little girl that went back to Korea. And it's wonderful with children. And it's just really bad with other dogs.
Well, how old is the dog?
It's a little bit over one. I think it was one in May.
And is it male?
No, it's female.
A female?
It's faded.
Mm-hmm.
Spaying a female generally doesn't change your personality with regard to aggressiveness.
It's such a nice dog otherwise. I mean, it's great with children.
Oh, yeah. Well, being dog aggressive, dogs don't love everybody. Even the nicest dog, if it meets certain dogs, will fight. And just because they fight with other dogs has very little relationship with whether they're friendly with people. Here's my theory. Usually I think dogs bark and do this as a kind of a protective thing for you in this particular case. In the wolf pack, which, of course, dogs are kind of wolves, the alpha, the major, the head wolf, goes in the den and sleeps, and the underlings, the betas, the gammas, they hang around the periphery, and if anything happens, their only job is to stand up and bark and alert everybody else. So, but their job isn't to attack. That's the alpha is the one that protects the group.
They're sentinels, in other words.
They are the sentinels, mm-hmm. The guards. All right. So when you get a dog that's barking like that, I'd bet a nickel that if you let the dog go to the other dog, she'd probably run, get within 10 feet, and stop, especially if the dog is bigger, because she's not an idiot. She'd go, hey, well, that dog's bigger than me. I really didn't want to fight you. I just wanted to let them know that you were here. So what you do is the dog starts barking. Now, this is not going to work the first time you do it. It's going to take a while. The dog starts barking to alert you to the fact that there's another dog. So you say, oh, good girl, thank you very much for telling me about the danger. Now, and you could even give her a cookie. Now be quiet, all right? Of course, none of this means anything. The language doesn't mean anything to the dog. But you're acknowledging that that she has done the right thing, I think, will lessen, her aggressiveness. What happens usually is dog starts barking, you are embarrassed or whatever, and you say, stop it, stop it. And her reaction is, no, you don't understand. There's danger here. You are not acknowledging the danger. If you acknowledge the danger and then say, good girl, that will help alleviate her instinct to protect you. All right? You can try that. The other thing to do is take her to classes, like obedience classes, and get her around a lot of other dogs.
She may not have had any experience with other dogs.
Right.
We had a kennel right after we got her. And, she was pretty mild in the kennel, but I don't even know how if I could get her into the class. I mean, she's so aggressive.
Oh, believe me.
It'll work out.
I had a class once. I think I've mentioned this on the air before. It was me and two other guys teaching it.
I was, oh, that's what everybody got bitten in.
Every
it?
One of us got bit.
Yes.
One time or another.
Yeah.
And boy, that was.
I taught opposite you that yeah. night. I was upstairs and they were downstairs being savaged by these dogs.
We called it the class from hell.
It wasn't funny at the time. I was just grateful that I didn't have that class and he did.
But in any event, if you come to our training class, and I'm sure any training class.
What class would you recommend at what level? I mean, she walks, she sits.
I would recommend the basic...
puppy kindergarten?
No, that she's too old for that. The regular companion...
Home companion class.
The beginning class.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. Sure. You're welcome.
Well, let us know later down
yeah,
the
we
line.
Should, we should say that it's very unusual when that happened. That's why we remember that one class.
Yeah.
Because I've never been bitten. I've never had a dog get bitten. But that was a strange thing.
I've gone to the hospital. One dog attacked
me. I got bitten once years and years ago. Chow bit me right on the thumb. I was assisting you in that class.
I believe.
Chow.
A child.
Well, yeah, that could happen. But
I know the child didn't mean it. I probably provoked it, but we're going to have to put him down.
Ooh. Yeah, the chow got me.
Oh, the chow, I mean.
Let's go on to our next caller. Line 2, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good afternoon.
I wanted to call to ask you about books. Turns out that the new bookshelf seems full, at least in the section on pets and animals, of an analytic book on gauging and judging people's personalities, dogs' personalities, and how to put them together. And I wondered if you had seen any of these books or had time to read them, what you thought about them, and if there were any in particular that you thought made sense to you.
I just saw one now. Going to apologize in advance because I was looking at one 2 weeks ago and it's relatively new on the market. Why can't I think of this author's name? I know there's one out there. It's by Tortora. That one's been around for a few years. That one's pretty good. And it doesn't look so much at personalities of the people as much as your lifestyle and your compatibility with certain types of dogs and what they work well with. But there is a new one out there, and I'm really sorry, but I can't remember. But if you go to one of the bookstores in town and you look for it in that category, you should see it. It's only been out this year, I believe. But I thought it was quite good. I whipped through it, and I thought it was...
As far as you know, is this a new trend? Because I recall either this year or last, someone coming out with a sequel listing of the intelligence levels of dogs.
Yes.
From most to the least. And apparently now a lot of people are either doing this in articles or in books, rating the dogs on various scales, and people too, and seeing who's with whom. Is this new? Have I missed something? Is this the latest trend?
I don't think it's new. I think it's just it's just become more...
Right after the war, the big one, WW2, at Bar Harbor, Maine... who was it? Scott and Fuller started in 46, 47, 48, started and into the 50s studying dog behavior scientifically. Up till then...
it was hit or miss.
It was never studied scientifically. If you were a dog trainer, you could write a book on it, but you really didn't know much behavior well. That started a whole lot of stuff on other canid behavior and... you're right. And probably in the last 10 years, people have, and now on campuses, we have EEE, ethology, ecology, and entomology or something. And you know, people with a lot of knowledge and a lot of time on their hands are starting to write these books. I'm not sure how useful they are.
And have you found one particularly apt, one that you read and said, that's so true in my experience?
No, I tend not to read those books. I looked at one that discussed Malamutes, and I thought it was correct. It discussed one particular dog that had torn apart somebody's living room and tore up about $5,000 worth of furniture in a half an hour, and they figured it at like $100 of a minute or something. And I thought, yeah, that's probably right. But you know, dogs aren't like VCRs. Every one of them is different. Mm-hmm. And we just had a litter of puppies ourselves. We had six puppies, We study, you know, from birth to 6 weeks, we study them, and then people come to us and we talk to them for a couple hours, and we figure, well, which puppy is for you? In other words, it's not, oh, we have six puppies, what color do you like? Because they're Malamutes, they're all the same. They were, you couldn't find six more different dogs. You can say that Malamutes on average do this, or Goldens on mm-hmm. average do this, or most Goldens do that. But trying to match somebody's personality with something.
Then is there
hard.
A book you've run across or a method for evaluating dogs at puppy or adult stage to see what important traits they have
yeah, we
that
do
would or wouldn't work for you?
For about 20 years, I forgot how long, we puppy test every puppy we come out with at 49 days, which is when their nervous system is all together.
And that's a result of the Scott and Fuller studies.
It's Scott and Fuller's studies and Guide Dogs for the Blind, mm-hmm. which were based on Scott and Fuller. We do all kinds of tests. Whether they tell us anything is, we also do a sled dog test that I think is totally worthless. But we've been doing it for 20 years, so we keep doing it. But I still think it's more of an art than a science.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call this afternoon. Our next caller is on line 3 in Rockville, Indiana. Hi. I'm confused. On line 3.
Oh.
Yes, thanks, Carol. Line 3 is a caller in Urbana, and then right after our caller in Urbana, we'll go to Rockville, Indiana.
Hi. I have a probably fairly common problem. I have a golden retriever, rather. He's 15 months, and we adopted him when he was about 12 months. And he's a great dog, but he's extremely exuberant. And our particular problem is with cats and small children. And we've worked on him to sit, and he'll do a sit-stay. But as soon as he's released from a sit-stay, he's back to be a wild and crazy guy. So it's a problem when people come over with children because I don't want him to scare the kids, but he's definitely not able to kind of contain himself.
What does he do?
He tends to knock them over. He mm-hmm. runs up. As soon as he's released from a sit-stay, he doesn't just walk over. He's a little bit better with adults, but with young kids, he'll just go over and want to make friends.
What I would do if I were in your position, because my sister had, when her children were young, even though she doesn't live here, when they come and visit, I too did not want the children knocked down inadvertently by the dogs,
mm-hmm.
okay, even though they would certainly not intend to hurt them.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would keep the dogs with me on a leash if necessary, have the children come in and sit down in a chair or on the couch, and then let the dog greet them, but go with the dog when he greets the children, okay, so he's not free to go nuts. He's still under some kind of control. Have them, you know, maybe give him a treat, but everything is low-key and soft so the kids aren't screaming and excited. And if you can do that repeatedly for quite a long time, then that will become his method of greeting children.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of persistence, and it takes cooperation from the children. So if you've got 2 or 3-year-olds, then your expectations won't be realistic as to what they can do for you. But if you do it with older children, I think that might help.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a puppy, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping he'll outgrow
yeah,
it. But
he's still a young dog. What's he do to cats?
Oh, he bolts after them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have cats.
He plays.
They're outdoor cats for the summer, but in the winter they'll be coming in. And I think one of them is sort of a chase instinct, and the other one is I don't think he is after them to hurt them. I think he just thinks they want to have fun.
I think the cats will probably teach him not to chase them.
Well, I'm worried about the cats bringing them back into the house and having him in the house. I don't want to terrorize the cats. I don't want to put them in a situation mm-hmm. where he's going to back them against a wall.
Put them on a leash when the cats are in the house, when you first bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just work at it like you would with the children, you know, try to keep the dog's behavior under control without harassing him or coming down too hard on him. But, you know, he's a very active age right now, so just keep him under control. Put him on a leash in the house. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And get the cats, and I agree with you, I don't think the cats should be terrorized either, and how many cats are there?
Two.
I wouldn't see much of a problem.
A couple of things. One, most males settle. Is he neutered?
Yes.
Settle down when they're about 2 years old. All right. So a lot of the exuberance will go away. But you have to remember, greeting time is a very exciting time for dogs. Mm-hmm. When they first see you, or somebody first comes in, their instinct is to go up, check them out, find if they're a friend or foe. With dogs that we've artificially made submissive, is to go up and be submissive to the humans. And it's just a very, very exciting time. And I think Carol's exactly right. Don't be so sensitive about restraining the dog. There's no magic word you can say to him, like stop or hocus pocus, that's going to make him stop doing this. You have the kids come in, sit down, and do what Carol said. We had, when my nephews and nieces were little kids, we'd take the dogs over. Now, we have a 120-pound dog and we got 60-pound kids. We say, whatever you do, don't scream and start running.
Uh-huh.
And they get outside, they scream like a wounded rabbit and start running. Well, of course, the dogs are going to chase them down, you know. And say, don't do that. So it goes both ways. The kids are kind of, know how to push the buttons on the dogs. The cats, what I would do before you bring them in, take the dog to a neutral place so the dog isn't on his territory, and let him sniff the cats so he knows who they are. All right, the cats may not like that very much, but in other words, when the cats come in, the dog has a lot going on in his brain. He's a retriever, and he's going to want to retrieve them. He's a dog, he's going to want to kill them. It's his house, he's going to want to protect the house. You get him outside his territory, and a lot of that goes away. So at least he can greet the cat if you're holding it, and be careful because the cat will scratch you, and get a sniff of it. Then when you go back, do the same thing, introduce the cat in the house, but now the dog already knows who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And knows that you are protecting it, you've been holding it, and it's your cat. And it also has your odor on it. So then do the other sensible things that Carol said. Don't make sure the dog is restrained when they first meet,
mm-hmm.
so that if he does try to kill it, you can pull him back.
Yeah, I guess in my heart, I think he just wants to have fun.
he thinks
the cats will want to play too. And,
when I had my cat, who I've had now, I think she's been gone 3 years, but every morning Hulky would get up and he'd think, today's the day she'll play with me. This went on all her life. And every morning, and it was over the water bowl. She would go to the dog's water bowl, this little cat, and she would monopolize it. And he'd sit there and wait, you know, and he'd want to play. She'd finish drinking the water, and she'd walk over, and she'd smack him on the nose every single day. It was the cutest thing you ever saw. And he'd say, okay, not today. Tomorrow she'll play with me. But he never had any ill intention toward her whatsoever. You know, she was the one I had to watch.
Well, we had cats with the males, and when the cats were in the house, the males respected them.
Mm-hmm.
Just some territorial thing. Outside, they'd kill them.
So now, see, that's a good point, because as good as he was, and Tracy was too, outside, and my cat was an indoor cat, but sometimes she liked to lay on the patio. Outside, you could see.
Well,
The dynamics change.
The problem is the cats panic,
mm-hmm.
for some good reason, and they run, and the dog's going to run them down and kill them. And the cat we had that survived, when the dogs would swarm around her, she just sat there. And the dogs would come up, sniff her, and then leave her alone. But the cats that ran, they had it. They could not run the dog.
You know, I like the idea of restraining him while they're in the house, at least sort of starting it off that way.
You know, you might not want to use it. You know, do you take him for a lot of walks?
Yeah, he gets plenty of exercise.
Okay, well, no, that's not my point. Okay, so he associates his leash with walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to use, call it a house line, take just anything other than his leash, like a piece of clothesline, something that's not going to have those specific connotations to him.
Oh, that's a good idea,
and let him just wear
it,
you know, like maybe 10, 12 feet long or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and lightweight, so he's not, you know, not a chain or anything. So he's got that on him, and then you can just use it. You know, you just use it for restraint.
Don't let him wear it when you're not there.
Well, mm-hmm. of course, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's a good point. But it's just, you know, so he doesn't, you don't get his leash out and thinks, oh, I'm going for a walk, and then he drags around the house for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's also for other problems, it's a good idea. If you have a dog that jumps on the furniture and you have a hard time getting him off, you put a drag line on him and you grab the drag line anywhere and pull him off.
No, otherwise he's perfect.
Of course he is. He's a nice little golden retriever.
He's not an unusual retriever at all. They are high-energy dogs, and they're very friendly.
Okay, thanks. This was very helpful.
Okay, thanks for the call this afternoon. And our next caller is on line 4 in Rockville, Indiana. Hi, Rockville, Indiana.
Hi. I think the last time your guests were on, they talked about a dog training book about something, clicker training. And the book, I thought the title was A Dog and a Dolphin by Karen Pryor, but I've been unable to find it either in on my...
It's called Don't Shoot the Dog.
The one
Don't
we have
Shoot the Dog.
And that's not even on clicker training.
No, that's on the method behind it, the methodology.
Yeah.
But you should read that book, however.
Okay.
You should
now
read that book.
Now, that's called Don't Shoot the Dog.
Right.
And that's Karen Pryor.
Correct.
Karen Pryor, who's...
Because I found a lot of books about dolphins.
Yeah. She, I think...
Yeah, I've got that one on dolphins.
She was at SeaWorld for a long time.
Book? Right. But you should read the book Don't Shoot the Dog because it gives you a better understanding of what it is you're going to embark upon.
Okay. Then
she's also written books on clicker training too, but I forgot what those are called. There are many other books on clicker training.
They couldn't find any in the bookstore or Amazon on the internet. They didn't have any books by Karen Pryor about clicker training.
There's another spot you can go to.
Okay.
On the internet.
I don't know if...
dogandcatbooks.com.
Karen may not have written the book. She may have written the introduction.
No, she wrote Don't Shoot the Dog.
She wrote Don't Shoot the Dog.
Okay.
But it doesn't discuss clicker training as clicker training.
No, it's just the methodology.
It's the ideas behind it. But there are books on clicker training and just, you know...
Search on clicker training.
Go to Amazon or whatever, Barnes & Noble, put in clicker and... You'll come up with a lot of books.
Okay, and did you say there's another place on the internet called Dogs and Cats?
Yes, it's called dogandcatbooks.com.
Okay.
Okay, and
that's
exactly what it is.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other calls are welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests are Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm, and my name is Celeste Quinn. You can join us with a telephone call. The number's 333-9455. That's the number if you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Before we go on to our next caller, can you give us a brief description of clicker training?
It's great. It works. And what clicker training is, we say, okay, your dog sits, you say, good dog. Okay. Clicker training paired with a conditioned reinforcer, a treat, helps you get that response out more quickly. So the dog understands exactly what it is that it has done correctly because it's so fast. The sound of the clicker is acquainted with a reward. Okay, so you have a little piece of hot dog, you tell the dog to sit, the dog sits, you click and treat. Okay, click, treat.
Have you clicker trained?
I did, and it works. Now, you know, I like it. It's like this gentleman that called earlier about the books. You have to, and this is only my opinion, there are some great books out there. There are some rotten books out there. There are books that have good and bad information. So what you need to be able to learn to do is to glean all the good parts of information that are out there and discard the bad. And the only way you can really do that is, unfortunately, not by reading a lot, but by trying a lot of things that will help. But...
Well, I haven't done. Somebody I know who has Malamutes has done clicker training and really likes it.
It works.
You actually start by taking the hot dog, giving it to the dog, and clicking.
Right.
You don't train it to do anything. You say, "Here's a hot dog, click. Here's a hot dog, click." And
so they associate
you get secondary. So you can use the clicker as secondary reinforcement. I think the advantage of clicker, and I've never done it, is that most people, especially beginners, when they train. Don't give consistent voice commands. And that's what we harp on I just got done teaching
well,
a beginning
they're
class.
Not consistent, but their timing is so poor, and the clicker really
helps. That's – but – and they're constantly saying no, and they're going –
Yeah, because you
say,
don't speak.
The dog – yeah, okay. You don't say
you
don't, anything.
You let the clicker –
The dog does – the dog sits, and they don't say anything, or they go, good dog. And I go up and I say, if you just did – if somebody told you to do something and you did it, and somebody said, well, that's nice, what would you think? But with the clicker, yeah.
It's a consistent.
The clicker is always the same, and it's easier for especially beginners to do.
But that's why it's important she read the first book, because to just buy a clicker and do it, it's not going to work. You need to understand the concept behind it.
Okay, let's go to our next caller on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. About the first call you got today, I would caution the dog owner, maybe their dog isn't aggressive. It sounds a lot like our dog, who I think is hyper-aggressive, and you would think she's going to tear up another dog when she sees it, but she's never been aggressive towards a dog once she gets close to them. We took her to training class, and she soon learned that all the dogs there were good dogs, and she stopped being like that, and we thought, well, we've stopped our dog from being that way, but as soon as you take her out for a walk and she sees a new dog, then it's a whole new thing. But she isn't aggressive. She just wants to get up and meet the dog. Jim started to sort of talk about that. Mm-hmm. And we've been working with her. We haven't been able to modify that behavior. I even tried Jim's idea of trying to soothe her by using calming
good
talk,
feedback.
And it didn't work, Jim. Sorry.
Another thing you can do, if that doesn't work, is train the dog not to bark. And how do you train a dog not to do something? It ain't easy. The way you train the dog not to bark is train it to bark, all right? And use any technique you want. You train it to bark, and then once the dog understands bark, you can then give it a no command.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, arf, 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 good dog, bark, arf. So they have a command to bark. Then when the dog starts barking on its own, you can give the no bark command. And at least it'll shut the dog up.
Yeah, with our dog, the barking is kind of minor. It's the lunging and spinning around in circles that is actually more dangerous. She's taken me down a couple of times. And
must be a big dog.
She's very strong. So, any advice you have, I'd be willing to try. But
Well, you can do that.
Okay. You're trying to say something.
I'm going to say something.
I'm not choking him.
I'm trying to express this so that nobody, I don't get become the victim of a drive-by shooting. But dogs are not made out of china. You know, you can give them a nice hard correction, and generally they won't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, dogs when they deal with each other bite each other and draw blood. I mean, so it's not, you know, they're used to this kind of thing. When I train a dog not to go after another dog, what I do is I get the dog beside me, we get the other dog, and dog A starts to run toward dog B. I let it go. Then, if I have a 6-foot lead, I wait until the dog is 5 feet 6 inches from me, and then bam! And the dog will generally fly in the air, flop on its back. But I don't pull it, I just go bam, like you're whipping a towel at somebody. And then I say, good dog. Then we do it again. I've never gone had to do it three times. Now, that will mean the dog won't lunge at another dog. That doesn't mean they're happy to see him. But at least if I say sit, they'll sit by me and they won't run out. And why? Because they don't trust me anymore. If they can't see me and they're running away from me, I might do something horrible to them. But the key is you let them go. You pop them just a little bit. You use their own momentum to knock them down when they're out at the end of the lead. And it's not a very hard correction at all. They're just kind of Bugs Bunny cartoons.
It's an element of surprise.
The Bugs Bunny cartoons.
But I just got a catalog from them this summer.
Well, I've got Don't Shoot the Dog, and I forgot.
I have it. It was out of print for a while, but I don't think the library has it either. Try dogandcatbooks.com.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call.
And thanks for the feedback. I, you know, this is only a theory that I have, and if it doesn't work, I will stop telling
people
to do it.
We have to have different things to try, because not the same thing's going to work for every dog.
Right.
Some dogs, you know, and a correction like that, they'll just melt away.
Well, exactly.
Other dogs are just going to say,
never,
hey.
There are a lot of dogs I would never do that to.
You have to know,
because
read it and assess them. And
yeah, you got to look at them, give them a couple little pops first. There are some dogs that are wonderful dogs and easy to train, but you can't use a lead with them. And I keep saying, you know, the 80-20 rule. About 80% of the dogs can handle a lead correction. 20% can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they get depressed. And when you spot one of those in the class and you see somebody jerking the dog around, you say, from now on, you know, use food on this dog, or do not use the lead, because this dog can't handle it.
And we were talking about clicker training how critically important timing is. And it just drives me crazy, people come to class, because I'll have this mistaken notion to yank the dog around, which accomplishes nothing. So
let's take another call.
Another call. Lots of calls today.
On line 4.
Holiday weekend.
In Pontiac.
Hi.
Hi.
I was sitting here listening, and I thought, well, gee, maybe they can help me. Maybe my dog's not too old to learn something new. We have a mixed breed. She's Springer Spaniel and Golden. She's a lovely dog. She's about 10. What drives me crazy is we go out in the yard, and she goes out to sniff around, and if you call her, she totally ignores you. And, you know, you can yell her name, you can yell as loud as you want. The only thing that gets her is a cookie or, a dog biscuit. If we say that, then she'll usually come. And I don't know what I did wrong. She's pretty well trained on a lead and stuff like that, but she just ignores you.
Well, how long has she been doing this?
All her life. And I'm tired of living with it.
Well, you know, I was sitting here listening, and she's 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's a Golden Springer mix. So, you know, with good health, good fortune, 13, 15 years.
Right.
I just give her a cookie. I mean, what difference does it make?
A cookie every time.
If she were a year old, you could work on something different. But I would just, you know, stick a cookie in your pocket when you go out.
But why do they totally ignore you like that?
She doesn't want to go in the house.
Okay.
Do you have any kids?
Huh? Yeah.
Do you ever tell them to clean their room? No. How many times?
Same sort of thing.
Yeah. How many times do you do it? The dog will come.
Well, okay.
When it knows you mean it.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, if it's 98 degrees, I bet she'll come in the house when you call.
Sometimes, if you get close enough, then she kind of looks at you like, "Oh, you're calling me."
There's also nothing wrong with using cookies.
Okay.
I've got, I don't know how many dogs. I've got 20 dogs, and every morning, and we have big cookie jars in the basement and in the barn where the dogs are. And I go out and I take a big handful of cookies and I stuff it in my pocket. And we have various fields where we let the dogs run.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out, they go to the door to their particular field, they stop, I give them a cookie. Then when it's time to come in, I call them, they run up, I give them a cookie.
Oh,
and then when they go back to their run, I give them a cookie. Robin's yelling at me because I'm giving them too many cookies, but it makes them more tractable. But the point is, I really don't have to use the cookies. And sometimes I forget or I run out. The dogs are still doing it because they expect it.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that I don't give them a cookie by now doesn't bother them, because tomorrow they'll still do it. So if you do it consistently for a long time, then you can wean it away. But there's nothing wrong with
using
cookies.
She's always been afraid of loud noises. The 4th of July is always a miserable holiday. And it seems to get worse, and my vet has said that it probably just gets worse with age. This year we got tranquilizers and then gave them to her for weeks afterwards. I mean, if she would hear a car door slam after the 4th, she would just get nervous and shake and, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing much you can do about that except...
I have the problem, too, you know, it's funny because it seems as though it's not because they're outside more in the summertime, but it seems as though with the one dog, her fear of storms and fireworks and everything has generalized itself to, like, you know, warm weather, because only in warm weather does she experience these life panics, okay?
Yeah.
So she will, even this morning, it was a bit overcast this morning, but I know there were no storms, but she'll go out and she'll look up at the western sky. I mean, she's like living with a meteorologist, and she's get this worried look that, you know, maybe it's going to thunder.
Takes a worried dog to sing a worried song.
Yeah.
This is the same as clicker training, by the way. It's a secondary reinforcement. So if the dog's afraid of thunder, then they very often become afraid of overcast days.
Because it, I'll have to watch.
It's like click. It's the primary reinforcer gets associated with something else, and you can really get a neurotic dog.
She's a little neurotic. I'm like, she's always wanting me to go turn on the Weather Channel because she doesn't believe me. So look at the window, you know, warm, moist air. She'll start to pant. Oh my God, it might storm, you know.
And a lot of times, you never know what. The dog has this odd behavior, and you never know what the original fear was.
Where they first got that.
It's traveled so much and been associated
with
so many
different
things.
She's certainly everybody's friend and knows every repairman or anyone who's ever been here. She remembers them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they come back, and we're living in a small town. We end up leaving our door open, and people just come in to fix things or whatever, and she just sits there with them and watches.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's a real nice watch.
She sounds like a wonderful dog.
But she is pretty fierce. If she doesn't know someone, she'll bark.
Get her own tool set and
maybe she can take care of
tool
them.
Tool time.
Yeah, when storms come up, she can fix the washing machine or something.
Get her into an apprenticeship program.
Stick a little cookie in your pocket when you let her out.
But the other thing is food. A dog cannot be afraid when it's eating. Those are two different nervous systems, autonomic and sympathetic
know.
And autonomic.
Sympathetic.
So if she gets frightened, give her some food.
We're getting close to time. Let's see if we can talk to another person or two here. Line one, caller in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I want to go back to Jim and his pulling on the lead to get him to stop when you want him to stop. 30 years ago when I was teaching a training class, I had a couple who came with a Sammy. And the Sammy pulled the woman right straight through the door and practically flat out. And the husband said, "You'll never control that dog. You're too small." So I said, "Well, let's see what we can do." She's about the same size as me. I took the dog back out. The dog started to pull. I gave about 3 feet of leash. And then I backed up and pulled, and the dog landed on her back. And she got up, and I handed her the food, and I said, "Walk through the door with her." She did. And the dog walked through the door.
Yeah,
so it works.
That's a Sammy, and you know, Sammy's can handle that kind of correction for the most part.
Well, I figured it could. I wouldn't have done it. There are a lot of breeds I wouldn't have done it with.
Right,
but,
sure. But it's a
very effective one.
Yeah, and I use it only when you have to. But
yeah, but yeah, and
it's
you
effective.
Want to be careful what breed.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pulling out the big guns, but
some breeds you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if somebody's having a real problem and they're being pulled over, then.
That's where it comes.
And if the dog gets loose, it's going to attack another dog. Then you start thinking about those kind of. And I was trying to make the point: the dog isn't going to die.
Oh no! The dog was very surprised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Element of surprise.
And that usually got him. But you have to figure out what will surprise this particular breed. But it is the element of surprise.
I'm just trying to tell people: don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home.
Put under the expert guidance of a dog trainer.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just thought I wanted to add that it's been going on for a long time and it's worked for a long time.
How did your puppies work out with the mom not taking care of them?
Well, it worked out okay.
Did she start?
Yeah, she decided after all they were hers.
Okay, great.
And I'm kind of wishing that. I hadn't done it, but that's okay. They're going to new homes pretty quick.
Well, thanks for the call. Okay. Thanks for the update on the pups. And that wraps it up.
Next month is October. I can't believe it.
How about that?
Good Lord.
Thanks to everybody who called, and also thanks to Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm.
Let's give our phone number because classes are starting
328-7108.
That's 328-7108.
Area code 217. Classes start September 17th. By the way.
Okay. I'm teaching one.
Me too.
Oh, same one?
6:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that number was for the dog training club.
Yes.
It
was Jim's phone number.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next month.
Bye.